Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, a new book is out by Chicago Review Press. It's called Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. It's a great book that covers everything from junk removal professionals to the junk craze on television with shows like Pawn Stars and Antique Roadshow. But it really explores the main question. Why do we keep everything? What's our fascination with holding on to every little piece of junk that we probably will never use again? The author is Allison Stewart. Stewart, of course, is a longtime television and radio anchor. She's worked for NBC, ABC, CBS, NPR, and MTV News. She's currently a contributing correspondent for PBS. Allison will be at the bookseller in Lincoln Square this Saturday to speak and sign books, and she's here with us tonight on The Download. Allison, thanks for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So this is, I mean, this book is relatable across the board. I feel like this is something that's in my life as well. But, I mean, you got interested in this because of firsthand of experience of cleaning out your parents' basement. Tell us about that.
Yeah, my late parents were sophisticated, lovely, elegant people with a beautiful home in Princeton, New Jersey. But we all knew there was this thing in the house called the basement. And honestly, if I could have poured concrete in there and say, I don't know what happened, I would have done it. But when it came time to have to sell the family home, my sister and I had to tackle just 40, 50 years of life that had accumulated in this basement. And, you know, when we go down there and I look around, I'm like, well, this isn't really a hoarding situation. This is a junk situation.
Yeah.
And it really took over my life. It took me about 8 months to clean out that basement. And the thing that was interesting was I would go to my kids' basketball games and people say, what are you doing? And I'd say, oh, God, I'm cleaning out my parents' basement. And everybody had a story. Everybody from the doorman's kid to the woman who put Bernie Madoff behind bars. Like, everybody had a story, a junk story about a relative, themselves, their parents. And my reporter radar went up. I said, what is going on here? And when your radar goes up, you start seeing it everywhere. And I was like, why are there so many TV shows about junk? How can junk removal be a respectable corporate enterprise? And it really just sent me on this down this rabbit hole of trying to think about who, what, where, when, and why of junk in the 21st century.
And this is not a book about, I mean, it has it, but it's not a book about hoarding. It's not a book about people going, you know, over the top. I mean, this is a book about everyday lives because, you know, you mentioned a lot of the stuff that was in your parents' basement was your stuff or your sister's stuff or in my case, same thing. You know, all the things that I've said, hey, Dad, can you hold this for me? Can you put this in the basement? So it's a very shared experience, but there's a lot of emotion involved with this. There's a lot of connection to the junk that we store.
It's interesting, yeah. And in interviewing professional organizers who are sort of like the Justice League of dealing with junk, you know, there's a lot of science behind it. There's a lot of cognitive issues behind why we keep stuff. But as one woman just said it plain out, it's the attachment to the memory.
Yeah.
And it's actually, the science shows, it's very interesting that sometimes it's not the loss of the thing. It's not the thing itself. It's the loss of the thing and the pain that might bring forward that makes people hold on to stuff. It's not necessarily that I need that picture that my kid drew. It's like the idea of not having it is more painful.
That's so true. I mean that really resonates probably with everybody who's listening right now. The connection that we have to our stuff is not necessarily about it being useful, but it's about what it represents.
And it's also, I think, a real interesting mashup, a generational mashup going on, because you have people like my parents who were born in 1929, and my mother could not part with a Christmas bow because as a kid,
right,
she was poor. And that was a big deal to get a Christmas bow. So there were bags and bags of Christmas bows. Now, my sister's 10 years older, so she's a baby boomer. Now, they were taught to, you know, buy, buy, buy. That's the way we keep the economy going. And also, it was, you know, more cost efficient to buy new than to fix. We kind of lost the generations of being able to fix stuff. And then you have their kids who are millennials,
right,
who say, like, well, why do I want your photo albums? All my photos are on my phone.
It changes. I mean, junk is changing by the generation. I mean, millennials they store things in a different way. They store things digitally.
And they also deal with a shared economy. They're much more likely to share a car. They're more likely to share a workspace. So there's sort of this weird thing where we're sort of at this point when there's just all this stuff around and nobody really wants it and nobody really knows what to do with it and how to deal with it. And that's why I wanted to really focus part of the book on the junk professionals, this whole industry that's popped up around what to do and how to manage all of our stuff.
One of those professionals lives here in Chicago, Hector Caballero Jr. He's a junk vet. He's a vet who got into junk removal, but you follow him around, you talk to him about his job, which is pretty much you can pay Hector to come into your place and take away junk. And you talk, or you almost, you paint this picture of all the different places he goes to in the Chicago area, whether it be, you know, people who just need to get rid of junk or people who in a rush need, you know, a place cleaned out. There's a lot of emotion attached into the work that Hector does.
Yeah, Hector's a really interesting guy, and he's very much sort of an American success story. He's a Marine, former Marine. He's got Semper Fi tattooed on his arms. And when he got out of the Marine Corps, he was sort of trying to figure out what he was going to do with his life. And he's an enterprising guy, and he just saw junk removal on TV, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. He thought, I can do that. He just has that kind of, you know, I can do that spirit, that sort of go-getter Americana thing. You know, we were talking a lot about how service people are really strong professionals, and it's something that people don't necessarily right. think about. So he just decided he was going to do this, and he started a company called Junk Vets, and it was just happened to be, this is, I didn't plan this, we ended up working on Memorial Day, and I followed him around for 3 days. I rode all over Chicago in some really good neighborhoods, some really bad neighborhoods, and, you know, it was kind of interesting. We tended to be, with him, it tended to be older people's houses. Now, I don't know if that's because older people have the association with the veteran, that it was going to be safe to have this person come to my house, but it was, yeah, it was people who were at, you know, really, he said it very poignantly, like, it's, we're the last person yeah. in this process.
There's a great quote he has in the book where he says, you got to communicate with them and really connect with them when you take their stuff out. A lot of people have lost their parents, and you're watching them crying as you're taking their stuff out. We're the final guys in the final process of life. This is it.
It's true. And he has a great deal of respect for the people. And there's a great story in there about, you know, normally some of these, you know, and this is not to disparage anybody else, but I seem to be super efficient. They're in and out. They don't mm-hmm. talk to the people, you know, and that's good in some cases. But there was an older couple in the corner, and he saw the woman and got to talking and realized it's like the First Lady of Jazz of Chicago, Geraldine DeHaas.
Yeah.
That he was cleaning out her home and her husband's home, and they got into this great conversation. Hector, and it's also a really interesting story of immigrants. His folks were from, his grandparents were Tejanos who came up to work in Chicago, and they're very family-oriented, and he's very family-oriented. And I think that really works for him and his ability to connect with people. You know, other people, I went to 5 cities around the country, and I embedded myself with these junk removal teams. And then here's something so interesting. The junk that comes out of the houses really reflects sort of the socioeconomic wow. situation of the cities.
Oh, of the cities, yeah.
Of the cities. Because in Austin, the first place I went, part of the junk removal was a piano. A beautiful piano. Because this lovely couple were moving from their 5,000-square-foot house to their 6,000-square-foot house.
I don't think of that as junk. But, you know, it's what I really liked about a lot of the sort of back and forth in this book, but in the interviews, is the sort of dichotomy of, like in Hector's situation, not only was he removing junk from people's places, but he was collecting some of it. You know, like they're like, you can do whatever you want with it. But then he would grab it. He was creating, he was amassing junk in his own place. There's just this, wherever we go, there seems to be this relationship with junk.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some people have asked me as I've started talking to people about the book, like, well, how do I not get junk? And I think that's a very smart question because prevention is pretty much the only way at this point. Because I think the culture, it's very hard not to accumulate right now, right? Yeah. It's so available. It's so at our fingertips. Things that you can get into your house cheap. People know that if you touch something for, send something, you gain some ownership of it. The science shows that. But it's, you know, I couldn't figure out, like, what was my final takeaway? Like, how could I help people, you know, who go through this or reading this book? And I also want to say it's not an anti-junk book. There's plenty of people who love junk. It's just, it has to be useful for you.
Right.
And we need to take the time to think about, is this thing actually useful to me?
And
you know, why do I actually
takeaway,
have this?
Right. Mindfulness.
Mindfulness, right?
Right.
I know it's an eye roll. I know it sounds like a yoga class and everything, but there's, but you know, I'm not sure human beings were meant to have access to so much all the time.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Like, I'm not sure if we can, if so much, well, it's 96 rolls of toilet paper in Costco, or it's 5 hamburgers for $1.
Right.
Like, I'm not sure we're wired to be able to say no to that.
There's the easy stuff that's like, well, you know, that's damaged or it's waterlogged or but it really is kind of like an archaeological dig where, you know, you're peeling back. You know, Hector talked about that too, about the idea of peeling back. You get past layer to layer to layer and you kind of see how deep the junk goes.
And it also, this is something that was interesting, that all the science points to it, and it happened anecdotally in every junk room I went to. For people who really start to be really challenged and have real difficulty with the amount of stuff around them, there's some traumatic event or just some emotional event, because it can be the birth of a baby, it could be the death of a spouse, it could be changing of a home, it could be a relocation, and it's always the last thing you get to in the clean out.
Wow.
You can almost tell it to the date. Oh, this is when it started. This is when the person started having difficulty letting go of things for whatever reason.
The book is called Junk, Digging Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. You can see Allison signing books and speaking at the bookseller in Lincoln Square this Saturday night, April 2nd. Allison Stewart, of course, longtime television and radio anchor for NBC, ABC, NPR, MTV News, all the big networks. Allison, thanks so much for taking some time out tonight.
Oh, well, I really appreciate your interest. Thanks so much.